This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 7th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 289. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And on the big deal feature, Russian intrigue, Chinese interference, Canada loses its troubadour, the end of the coronavirus emergency, and the crowning of Charles. Sounds from the week that was. But first, is it just me? Is it just me, or is the biggest voice in Canada against disinformation and misinformation actually the country's biggest disinformer and misinformer? Yes, I'm talking about Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who, like any leader in office too long, is hell-bent on controlling the message and faking his image. Billions of taxpayer dollars of subsidies, bailouts, and ad buys for certain media outlets, and a huge propaganda bureaucracy in Ottawa and across the country. New laws to regulate online content, and resolutions at the party convention aimed at even more regulations of the media, just a few days after Trudeau praised the independent media on World Press Freedom Day. Last week, Trudeau showed that a tangled web he weaves when first he practices to deceive. I'm talking about the latest in the Chinese government interference scandal, and who knew what and when about the targeting of Conservative MP Michael Chong by a Chinese diplomat in Canada named Wai Zhao. Chong was the last to learn, according to the Globe and Mail. In an era when Liberal MPs claim that they're being targeted by far-right domestic extremists, they, along with their cult-like Trunon social media hordes, seemingly don't care for the safety of their fellow MP from another party who is on another country's blacklist. This is the epitome of toxic partisanship. A wise man said this back in October 2013, and I quote, "It's hard not to feel disappointed in your government when every day there is a new scandal," end quote. The name of that wise man? Justin Trudeau. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. This is the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. Well, that was a whirlwind week, and that was an understatement. The first week of May 2023, there were more foreign interference bombshells in Ottawa. The major phase of the coronavirus pandemic is over, and a new king was crowned. Canada lost its troubadour. But first, a sight you don't see every day. On May 3rd, in Moscow, two drones attacked the Kremlin. Reaction from Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky.
"We don't attack Putin or Moscow. We fight on our territory. We are defending our villages and cities. We don't have, you know, enough weapons for this. We didn't attack Putin. We leave it to tribunal."
And reaction from John Kirby, assistant to the U.S. Secretary of Defense.
"We're still trying to gather information about what happened, and we just don't have conclusive evidence one way or the other. I know there's lots of questions, but we just don't have conclusive evidence. One thing I can tell you for certain is that the United States was not involved in this incident in any way, contrary to Mr. Peskov's lies. And that's what they are, just lies."
Gordon Lightfoot was so influential that even Bob Dylan looked up to him. The greatest Canadian to sing and strum a 12-string guitar passed away on May 1st. He was 84. Here's Gordon Lightfoot during Canada Day in 2020.
"So when I got asked to do this, I had to think about it because, gee, you know, you go in with, you try to stay in practice. I mean, I'm going to come back when this, after the plague dies down. We're, you know, we hope. The members of my band and all the people that work together, and we're sitting it out. And if the time comes, we'll be back. You know, it's just that kind of a thing. got to think about it that way. Think positive. If you could read my mind, look, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well.
On May 3rd, the Prime Minister's brother, Alexander Trudeau, appeared in his Trudeau Foundation role before the House of Commons Committee studying foreign interference. The fallout continues from the $200,000 paid by a donor connected to the Chinese government.
At some point, I am here today to say we're wasting our time on the notion of interference. I have seen no trace of it.
But unfortunately,
I don't think
that's not up for you to decide,
correct,
sir.
Correct.
And unfortunately, when it comes to things like interest and conflict of interest, pecuniary interest, you know, it's as much as the perception as it is the reality.
That this individual, Mr. Wei Zhou, should be on the first plane out or declared persona non grata. And I think that that is the only course of action here, because if we do not take that course of action, Minister, we are basically putting up a giant billboard for all authoritarian states around the world that says we are open for foreign interference threat activities on Canadian soil targeting Canadian citizens, and you can conduct these activities with zero consequences. And that's why this individual needs to be sent packing.
That was Conservative MP Michael Chong on May 4th, grilling Foreign Minister Melanie Joly during a House of Commons committee. The Globe and Mail revealed that Chong and his Hong Kong relatives were targeted by a Chinese diplomat in Canada, Wai Zhao, after Chong voted in 2021 to declare China's treatment of Uyghur Muslims a genocide.
Well, why is this diplomat still here? Article 9 of the Vienna Convention is clear. Article 9 says that the government can declare a diplomat persona non grata for no reason. The article is clear. So why is this diplomat still here? A diplomat who has more rights and immunities than the Canadians around this table to go around and conduct his foreign interference threat activities. He has diplomatic immunity. He cannot be criminally prosecuted. We all remember the case of the Russian diplomat who mowed down a Canadian citizen in a drunk driving case and killed her, and Minister Manley was unable to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. You have given accreditation to a diplomat here who is using his diplomatic immunity to target not just me and my family, but other members of parliament. So why do you, Minister, continue to allow this diplomat to be accredited in this country on Canadian soil? That is the question. And you haven't answered the question.
Well, let me be able to answer the question. And of course, Michael, I understand your frustration and I understand your anger.
So we haven't expelled PRC diplomat.
Can I just
finish? We are one of the only democratic allies in the NATO alliance that has not expelled a single PRC diplomat. And Canadians are being targeted by the over 100 diplomats accredited here.
Mr. Chong, will you allow the minister to respond?
Yes, okay, thank you. So, first and foremost, what we're doing right now as a government is we're assessing the consequences that we'll be facing in case of diplomatic expulsion, because there will be consequences. I think it's important the Canadians know what we've learned from the Two Michael experience is that, of course, China and the PRC will take action. These interests, including economic interests, consular interests, and also diplomatic interests, will be
Minister, I can't think of any
affected,
interest.
And therefore, no, Minister, Michael, I just want to finish my answer because this is very important. It's about you, but it's about also the interests of the country. So, as we are assessing the interests, and I know that we are under pressure to go fast, we need to make sure as well that we protect our democracy. And that is why we will take action in light of the facts that are being presented regarding your case and, you know, any MP that could be targeted. So that's why my deputy minister right now is meeting with the Chinese ambassador and summoning him. And that's why also we're assessing different options, including the expulsion of diplomats, because it is important that we take a decision.
May 5th at the Liberal Party convention in Ottawa, reporters asked the Prime Minister about the latest developments in the Chinese interference scandal.
Hello, Prime Minister. The Foreign Minister says Canada is considering the expulsion of a Chinese diplomat. Why hasn't this happened yet, given that multiple MPs have allegedly been threatened by China?
This is a
big step, not a small step, to expel diplomats. It's one that has to be taken with due consideration on all the potential impacts and all the very clear messages that it will send. This is something that the minister is looking at very carefully, looking at all the information around it, and she will make a decision in due course.
Mr. Trudeau, you said previously that the CSIS report didn't make it out of CSIS. Yesterday, the National Security Advisor contradicted you, saying that it made it to the Privy Council office. Who told you it never left CSIS, and why did you come out and tell Canadians that?
When the media reports came out on Monday, talking about threats to an MP and his family, I immediately turned to CSIS and to our intelligence agencies to find out exactly what the facts were, what was known, who knew it when, what was done with it. I was reassured to see that Mr. Chong had received multiple briefings following the information collected by CSIS to ensure that he and his family were kept safe, or would at least know what was going on in the extent that they needed to and they could be briefed. But it's also clear that that information never made it up to the political level in my office, to me, or even to the Minister of Public Safety at the time. The intelligence agencies constantly receive information about threats to Canadians, to our institutions, from various sources, and they are professionals at making evaluations on whether a threat is serious or credible and what actions need to be taken following a given threat or assessment. They proceeded to go through their processes in the way that they felt was the right thing to do. But it's obvious now that those processes need to be changed, which is why I have said clearly from now moving forward, any threat, whether it's serious or credible or not, to a member of parliament or their family, particularly from foreign sources, needs to be elevated to higher levels than it was. In terms of what I shared the best information I had at the time on Wednesday, both to Mr. Chong and to Canadians.
But it turns out that information was incorrect. So who told you the report never left CSIS?
Okay. I get briefings regularly from various sources. I'm not going to go into details on that. I will say, however, that as new information comes to light, we will share it as best as possible. But the fundamental fact that CSIS made a determination on what needed to be done with that information based on their professional levels, based on their assessment of threat levels, of seriousness, of credibility, is what we are going at now, saying specifically it has to be elevated, not just out of CSIS to other places. It has to be elevated to the highest levels so that we know about threats to members of parliament or their families.
May 5th at World Health Organization headquarters. The COVID-19 pandemic emergency is over, according to the head of the WHO, Dr. Tedros.
It's therefore with great hope that I declare COVID-19 over as a global health emergency. However, that does not mean COVID-19 is over as a global health threat. Last week, COVID-19 claimed life every 3 minutes. And that's just the deaths we know about. As we speak, thousands of people around the world are fighting for their lives in intensive care units. And millions more continue to live with the debilitating effects of post-COVID-19 condition.
May 6th, the day after the end of the coronavirus emergency, a coronation celebration. King Charles III took the throne as the world watched. The world also wondered about the future of the monarchy.
The coronation oath has stood for centuries and is enshrined in law. Are you willing to take the oath?
I am willing.
Will you solemnly promise and swear to govern the peoples of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland your other realms and the territories to any of them belonging or pertaining, according to their respective laws and customs.
I solemnly promise so to do.
What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.news podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. In the Taiwan news, service is our second name. Taiwan's amazing convenience stores. Taiwan's convenience stores are all-encompassing, providing a wide variety of services, and they are continually offering new ones. Taiwan has more than 13,000 convenience stores, with one for every 1,600 people, according to a 2021 survey by the Mirae Business Research Institute. This places Taiwan second only to South Korea, the world leader, where the figure is 1,200. Taiwan has four big convenience store chains: 7-Eleven, Family Mart, High Life, and OK Mart. In Kyoto news, Japan's seafood imports from Russia hit record 155 billion yen in 2022. That's $1.2 billion worth of marine products from Russia in 2022, data from the finance ministry showed, highlighting the country's continued reliance on Moscow for its seafood supply, despite a deterioration of relations over the war in Ukraine. While Japan did impose economic sanctions, including banning imports of vodka and lumber on Russia following the invasion of Ukraine last year, marine products were exempted as Tokyo deemed the adverse effect on domestic businesses would be too great. In the Hong Kong Free Press, Hong Kong National Security Police seized Tiananmen crackdown statue for inciting subversion. The police announced in a statement on Friday afternoon that their National Security Department had collected a piece of evidence on Friday morning. Local media said it was the Pillar of Shame, a statue commemorating the 1989 Tiananmen crackdown. The organizer of Hong Kong's annual Tiananmen crackdown vigil, the Hong Kong Alliance in Support of Patriotic Democratic Movements in China, together with three of its leading members, Lee Chuk-yan, Albert Ho, and Chow Hang-tung, have been charged with inciting subversion under the national security law. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.news podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.news podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. In the Oregonian, Emerald's GM Alan Benavides on exploding whales, minor league promotions, and the future of Eugene baseball. When the Eugene Emeralds announced that they would play as the Exploding Whales for a few games this season, general manager Alan Benavides was unsure how people would react to the club's nod to the famous 1970 incident on an Oregon beach. The club had ordered merchandise with the new alternate logo, enough shirts, jerseys, and hats, Benavides thought, to last through Christmas, but it sold out in 90 seconds. In King 5, Governor Jay Inslee announces he won't seek re-election in Washington State. Governor Inslee has been in office since 2013. Inslee succeeded Christine Gregoire, who served as Washington State's governor from 2005 to 2013. State Attorney General Bob Ferguson is also considering a run for governor, announcing Tuesday that he launched an exploratory committee as the first step to a possible run. Ferguson said he plans to travel across Washington State to talk with residents, earn endorsements from leaders, and drum up grassroots support. In the Times Colonist, to feed endangered whales, Alaska ordered to stop intercepting BC-bound salmon. The enormous ruling withholds permits in southeast Alaska that for decades has intercepted hundreds of thousands of Chinook salmon before they can reach endangered southern resident killer whales in BC. On Wednesday, the state of Alaska issued a statement saying it would appeal the ruling and request a stay to allow the summer fishing season to go ahead. That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.news podcast. It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate, so you won't stand alone, you won't stand alone. The virtual Nanaimo
Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Chambers of Commerce, Boards of Trade, Small Business Ambassadors, Entrepreneurs and Investors. It's Economic Development Week in BC from May 8th to 12th. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of May 7th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 7th of May in 1846, the Cambridge Chronicle, the oldest surviving newspaper in the U.S., is published for the first time? Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week.